when you were trying to think of like the scale of the smallest thing to break up Dookie in a toilet, was
honestly,
Tamagotchi.
I don't know what a nanobot is, so I was like, is that like a
what's
like
your theory? If you had to context clue it together, what do you think a nanobot is?
Nano means one. No?
Does it?
I don't know what nano means.
I just have a lot of questions about why you pronounced it Tamagotchi.
I don't know why I called it that. I knew it when I said it. Tamagotchi.
Hello and welcome to episode number 508 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to the life of ADC. We're committed to educating you on things that entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter at PodcastPod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be doing some opinion death panels.
But before you do that, you guys, listen, I watched The Smartless Colon on the Road doc on HBO this weekend. And if you don't know, this is about a podcast hosted by three very famous wealthy people who do not know many people of color. And if you don't realize that, just listen to the Tiffany Haddish, Octavia Spencer, or Awkwafina episodes, and you will believe me. Now, it's worth the watch, but know this. They do a live podcast, and they do not prep. They eat kale or surf and turf until showtime, and then they stay on stage less than 60 minutes interviewing, believe it or not, almost all white men. Now, my favorite episode is when they interview the sole woman on the tour, and they're worried she won't be enough to make the audience happy, so they bring out a white actor halfway through her interview, much to her surprise. No matter, the purpose of me telling you this is I compared what was happening in Smartless on the Road to what we do at the podcast live. First of all, there's no private jet. Christiana.
I wish. I would fly private jets so hard if that was an option.
We would be amazing at it. But we've been prepping since fall of 2022 for our two live shows coming up in September. We'll be in Austin on September 2nd and Atlanta on September 30th. It is not a live recording of the podcast. Listen, that's not necessarily worth putting on pants for. We plan 2 hours of chaotic but meticulous comedy. There's audio, there's visual, there's giveaways, there's a PMG staff. Aaron will probably twist an ankle at some point. You do not want to miss that. You need to plan a weekend, a road trip, a date night. Heck, use those flight credits and get thee to one of these shows. You want to be in the room where it happens. Just go to knoxandjamie.com/live or click on the link in the show notes to grab your tickets today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Jamie, we're going to do some death panels today, and I'm really excited because in most of this year, you know, we're on a little bit of a forward schedule of like, we know what we're going to do when we're going to like a month or so out. But this is one of the rare episodes where we actually kind of pivoted last minute because what we're going to talk about, some of these comments in this episode, these were originally Flavortown submissions from a few weeks ago that we love so much that we felt like we didn't know quite what to do with them, but we felt like they deserved their own episode. So I'm really excited to talk through these.
No, I'm very excited because we had talked about this episode being a pilot program episode, but that pilot that we were going to do, which we talk about in The More You Know, it's 30% on Rotten Tomatoes, and so we didn't do that for them.
Okay, you know what? I'm not doing this here because we already talked about it, The More You Know. I don't think it is properly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, you know?
Okay.
I think a critic got there and was like, there's body fluid present, right. So minus 70. And yeah. I don't dispute that necessarily. You know what I mean?
That's right. 26 critics got there and were like, that's a lot of fluids.
Sure.
Like
sure.
In a variety of places. And none of them cool, I'll be honest with you. But no matter, I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. You know, and I think, maybe we have an operations meeting soon and we can figure this out. But I feel like these opinions, maybe, you know, they're not in Flavortown, but maybe they get to like be at the all-inclusive resort in Flavortown. You know, like they get okay. like a all expense paid a trip to the all inclusive resort in Flavortown because they're that good. They didn't match like the vibe of what we were looking for, but they were just so good that I feel like they're a very important conversation piece. And I think, you know, to the death panel format, I went back to see like what was the earliest version of using these and like when we talked about them. And the earliest I could find was I think it was our second and third live shows in Dallas mm-hmm. in the narrow hallway. That's when they made their debut. And what I realized now, that was like proto Flavortown opinions. It was basically just people with their unpopular opinions. And the opinion that we featured last, because it was the hottest yes. in that show, this is from, I'll read it just verbatim. This is Rachel Bird. And she says, I hate Chip and Joanna from Fixer Upper. They ham it up on camera on HGTV. They are on Home and Garden Network, not a primetime sitcom. Good grief, settle down. I'm not, what I do know is that Christians do not have to irrationally adore, unwaveringly support annoying people on TV just because they also love Jesus. Like this was hot for that moment in time.
Rachel. That is spicy, Rachel. Although I do think Christians do sign some sort of documentation that they do have to support everybody because they have to be like, I gotta go hard.
It's like, look, it's all we got and we just gotta make it work, you know. It's the
we gotta love those Camerons. We just don't have a choice.
That's right. So it's been a minute since we've done death panels, but that's basically it's a Flavortown, it's an unpopular opinion kind of fusion. But even more broadly than that, Jamie, do you want to explain like where the whole idea of death panel comes from, like in general?
Okay, so let's do time travel back to 2009. Do you remember 2009, Knox? It's when we got a new national anthem called Party in the USA.
Mm.
The country was just as divided then as it is now because you were either Team Jacob or Team Edward, okay? And when you weren't thinking about Twilight, you were playing Farmville and realizing you would be a horrible farmer. It's also the year that we got an out-of-the-box brand new president who submitted a tiny little healthcare bill and proposed that doctors should be paid for spending time with patients and having conversations with them about planning for their end of life care. Another politician who would not put lipstick on a pig coined those conversations death panel. So this is a fictitious panel of medical experts who would decide if your Gigi or your Papaw would continue to be plugged in.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they would always unplug them. Like, always.
I mean, like, I know in theory it's terrible, but I also do kind of like the idea of just like, you know, what's the case for your life? You know, like, let's talk about it, old person.
Like
tell me why you should keep living. Yeah.
Justify this electricity from this, from this pump or that's whatever right. keeps people alive. So yeah. So that's where the death panel. So when we have these opinions, it's us serving as the death panel, deciding whether this opinion can live or die.
That's right. So this is like the elite of the elite opinions.
Yeah.
So this is going to be really tricky. So we are going to look at them in the context of live, die, and understand like why we feel how we feel. We did get a couple of comments that I feel like serve as worthy examples that we'll go over really quick just so people understand the vibe. The first one was from Sarah Jo Price, and she said, adults shouldn't be twins. And then she added context, I'm married to a twin. This is great. Like this is, I don't disagree with her necessarily. And it makes me think of like a lot of different alternate possibilities to deal with this issue.
Well, you know? Okay. So for context, I am, and I have been on record for many years that I am obsessed with twins. I love them. I want to invite them to parties so I can interrogate them. I want to stare at their faces. They're like Mother Nature's little Easter egg, right? Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. to be clear, I am only interested in identical or conjoined twins. Fraternal twins are boring AF. Like, I'm not interested in
They're not real twins, okay?
I'm not
trying to be the one to say that, but it's not. They're not real twins.
No, you got to have one egg and it splits. This whole two eggs work their way in, that sounds bossy and not enjoyable at all. Now, so in this situation where adults shouldn't be twins, is it that you just have to renounce your twindom, like you renounce your citizenship?
Okay.
Or is it at age 17, two twins have to fight to the death?
Okay, this I'm glad you asked this question because I have two alternatives. One is like I feel like we have to allude to the Jordan Peele situation, like the I guess it was called Us, where one twin has to live in the shadow realm.
Right,
that's a possibility.
Oh, I like
I more
that.
Prefer like Twin Island, and it's just an island where the lesser twins are sent and their memories are erased. You know, and it's a replica of society, except everything is they get like instead of Mountain Dew they get Mountain Lightning, instead of Oprah's talk show they get Drew Barrymore's. Instead of College Game Day, they get Fox's show with Urban Meyer and Brady Quinn. It's just lesser than, you know. And I could even see the movie version, and it would star like the Good Charlotte twins, you know, and like Benji's the good one, and I don't remember the
Benji and Blank Madden.
Coco.
What's the other Coco Madden?
Is it Coco? What is
no Benji and no? It's Pete Wentz.
I'm sitting here thinking I should
is
ask
it Charlotte. Is that where the Charlotte comes from?
They're Charlotte Madden from Good Charlotte. That feels like very weighted in One Direction.
Benji and Charles Madden.
I don't want to ask Erin because I feel like there's no way she knows, but there's like a 10% chance
she does not know.
Knows
Do you
very
know
vividly.
Who the other twin is, Erin?
Glenn?
In
Glenn
what?
Madden?
In Good Charlotte? Do you know what Good Charlotte is?
Benji and Tom.
Benji and Tom.
That was her best guess. That was her best guess.
What if it's John? John Madden, like the football guy. That'd be kind of interesting.
Oh, that'd be like a nice tribute. What is it, Erin?
Joel.
Joel.
God, it was right there. It was right there. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Tom is close.
Okay, let me. So we have this lesser island. Twin Island. What if the two, instead of having two twins fight to the death, like in their own twindom, what if we had not the pair of twins, but a twin from each pair fights another twin in another pair, like a bracket system? Like we can do like March Madness.
Okay, so what happens when one pair loses? Like, there's pro, like this is like duos, like in pro wrestling. Like, one champion.
But, like, we get lesser, especially the fraternal, we'll have lesser fraternal twins that think they're special, but they're not.
So are you saying they die? Like, they get killed off?
No, they go to Twin Island. No, they go to Twin Island. But if you lose the, like, if we have a joust, like a twin joust, and then we watch it like the Olympics, and then we all wave goodbye at the airport, instead of like when the championship team comes home and we have a parade, it would be a parade to send you off to Twin Island.
So a couple things. Number one, I like that you think jousting is the most commercially appealing sport in this current modern century.
Can you tell it was in my mini crossword in my New York Times? Because it was like, what is five letters? What is used in a joust? Weapon used in a joust. What do you think it is?
Oh, stick. That's my best guess.
I said sword. Guess what? That messed up the rest. It's Lance.
It's Lance.
Oh,
man,
Erin.
It is Lance. Erin, I don't like when you get judgy when you said it was Tom Madden.
I only know a few things, and sometimes I got to tell y'all.
But I do like the idea that there's only one twin set in the world, and the rest are like killed off or sent to Twin Island.
Like
you know
the
what I
best
mean?
Twins ever.
Like they're the victors of the world because they won the jousting tournament with their sticks and lances, you know? So I'm in on that. I think that's really good. I think that's really good. The other comment we wanted to use for the vibe setting is Serathina 192 says, it's really embarrassing being pregnant. Okay. Just a statement. And it's
that
true.
That was her statement. And it's so matter of fact, no punctuation at the end of that sentence. So it wasn't like an exclamation point or period. It was just like, this is a fact. Because listen, I do see a lot of pregnant folks who are visibly communicating at all times that they really wish they were in their house watching House Hunters and not at this farmer's market, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel it's just like it's obvious evidence of sex. People want to touch you. They want to ask you weird questions. I feel like you should be able to capably go about life without people knowing you're pregnant. Like society should advance to that point.
Yeah.
But Erin, listening to two people who have never been pregnant, as someone who has been pregnant themselves, do you agree with this? Do you think it is kind of embarrassing?
Yes, it is absolutely humiliating to be pregnant.
Oh, it was so embarrassing when Erin was pregnant. Yeah. It was so, I just walked a little farther.
Were you embarrassed for her, Jamie?
Yeah.
You're like, God,
secondhand.
I don't want to associate with you.
I understand that. Secondhand. I understand that. Yeah. There's too many things that are out of your control. Like,
plus if you look at her too long, you're like, she's growing an arm right now. Like, it's very weird.
You feel like you have to comment on it, but you also feel like you shouldn't comment on
it's
it. But it
miracle.
Feels like a weird thing.
It's a miracle, but we shouldn't talk about it.
But you feel compelled to, like, do you have heartburn? It's probably because the baby has hair. And it's like, I don't even know if that's true.
And the boobs are so big, we're not allowed to comment about how big your areolas have gotten.
Like, no, I would definitely like for you to not talk about that.
Yeah. Well, Jamie, if you see a pregnant woman and you start talking about milkers, you are canceled immediately. Please
well, that's
do
what
that.
They're doing. They're
no,
prepping.
Not now.
I am not allowed not to say mother's milk at any point. That feels unfair.
God, that feels almost profane when you say it like that, you know? So those are both examples that I think I would let live. I think these are very
good living
opinions. Jamie, would you like to go ahead and get to our contenders for this episode?
Yes. So up first is Grass Stains the Blog, which is our show frenemy, Catherine, who said, I'm offended that I've worked in corporate America for 30 years and I've never been sexually harassed, not even by an ugly guy. Am I not cute enough? Do I come off like a narc?
Okay, there's two things here. Does Catherine come off like a narc? Yeah, 100% off like a Karen. Okay,
like seriously, like she looks like somebody who, like, if she sees you like just messing up at work and not doing your job, she's like, "Hey, you do better." Like, let your boss know.
And that's not Catherine. But Catherine does look like if there is a black UPS driver, she's got the cops ready to go. You know, she's like, what are you doing in this neighborhood, sir? Like, that's not her. That is not her.
You know what it is? I find this to be true of a lot of Enneagram nines. I am going to make a blanket statement about an entire group of people. They have resting ghost face, which is just, I'm only politely listening to you, but I am not understanding anything you're saying because I want to leave and go home to a pet. Like, so that's a resting ghost face situation because they will ghost you. Like, if you turn around, they're gone. And you're like, where'd they go?
Yeah, I think everyone has their own, like, visual cross to bear. We all just, like, look like something. Like, I look like someone who's been in a fight in an Applebee's parking lot. I feel like Aaron looks like a police detective who gets personally involved in every single case, you know?
Wow.
And her sergeant has to be like, you have to stop getting invested.
She is definitely the host of a true crime podcast that gets into a parasocial relationship with the criminal.
That's amazing. I feel like that's very accurate.
The ironic thing about Jamie is, even though she's Petpocalypse, she does look like someone who would let their pet lick them in the mouth, you know? Like, directly
that's
in the mouth.
That's how you show love.
Yeah, it's just we all have our crosses to bear in terms of, like, how we look and what we give off. So I feel like Catherine does look like that she would be a narc, but I do think what she's speaking to, this is a version of positive gaslighting that Jason invented on the Overunderachievers, try to get me into F1. But I do also kind of like it as, like, you know, companies are trying to get people back in the office, you know, and they could be like, hey, free coffee, free snacks. Also, if you opt in, you could be objectified in a very low-key and complimentary way, you know, as long as you consent to that.
The only people who are like, I wish I'd been objectified at work are people who've never been objectified at work. Like,
I mean, sometimes you just want someone to comment on, like, you got really juicy calf muscles, you know? Like, man, thanks. That's really nice.
Listen, I was at a conference once, and we all had to stay for social workers, so there were no hotel rooms. It was just like this, like, we had to stay at this, because it was at a camp.
Yeah,
like
just a freaking rager, right?
That's what I'm hearing. Well, it was a Chaco Springs. And so we were all in these individual
dorm rooms.
You've done it, you know. Yeah. So there was this group, and I went out to go get my glass of milk because I got to have my night milk. And I went to get up my night milk, and one of the supervisors was in a robe, and he let it open while I was getting my night milk. And I was like,
okay,
gross.
So,
like, you're disgusting.
Like, was he, like, reaching for something and a gust of wind blew that thing apart, like the seas parted?
No,
for you?
He was talking to me about the workshop that we had gone to that day, and then he slowly let his tie come loose. Like,
okay, so he was flashing you. That's what he was doing. Okay.
It was awful.
Did you see the guy who got fired off, like, the full Monty, who was like, it was because of sexual weird stuff, and he was like, you know, I may have, like, opened my trailer door when they sent for me and I was due on set and I might have been naked and just not realized it. And it's like, hey, I think you realize that. I think you realize when you're nude and you answer the door or you're talking to a woman with her night milk.
You know where your pee-pee is at all times. You're hyper aware of your pee-pee.
I'm not trying to defend him, though, but if a woman's coming out to get night milk at Chaco Springs, and I honestly, unless you're milking an animal I don't know where you're getting that milk, Jamie. He's probably like, she's kind of probably pretty weird,
too.
You
get the milk from the cafeteria, and you bring
it back.
The cantina
closes at, like, 9
sharp.
You put
it in your tiny fridge. You put it in the fridge in the common room.
A lot of questions. I have a lot of questions about your choice. So is this living or is this dying for you?
No, this is dying. This is ridiculous.
So you, and what's not, like, you should be able to get sexually harassed at work if you want to?
No, you shouldn't be offended if you've never been sexually harassed. You're not allowed to be offended that you've never been sexually harassed. That minimizes sexual harassment.
This is so, yeah, I know. See, this is tricky because.
See, I pushed you into a corner. Good luck.
I want to agree with the spirit of what Catherine is saying, but I also don't want to be dismissive and minimizing of sexual harassment.
Yeah, Harvey, you don't.
So I think, unfortunately, I've been bullied into letting this die, Catherine. I'm sorry. So, yeah.
Okay, up next we have Kirby Daniel, who said, "It may not be as necessary as we were made to believe to learn, stop, drop, and roll. I just feel like maybe there are more likely life scenarios we could rehearse than this one."
Look, this is an absolute banger of a truth bomb, because the three things I remember from elementary school is that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. We are actively destroying the ozone, and stop, drop, and roll if you catch fire. You know, like, those are the things I take with me for the rest of my life.
Listen, I had a boss once tell me that I should stop, drop, and roll when I'm stressed. And they were like, "You should stop looking at the clock, drop your second guessing, and roll with the situation."
That kind of feels like sexual harassment in a sort of way.
Catherine, you know what I mean? Maybe if anyone's ever said that to you, maybe you were sexually harassed.
The irony here is that Catherine is probably so guilty of inadvertent sexual harassment, or just like a garden variety of harassment in a litany of ways, you know?
Oh, DM me and I'll tell you all the tales, y'all. All the tales.
Have either of you ever used stop, drop, and roll, like in real life, in a real life situation?
I've never caught on fire.
I have.
Of course you've caught on fire.
Were you the one who needed to stop, drop, and roll, or were you advising someone, Aaron?
No, it was me that I needed to, but it was during a performance and I couldn't break character. So I just didn't do anything and let my hair burn.
What character was it? Yeah, and why was it the character's choice to be like, I will let my hair
fall? It was a 10-minute play festival.
Okay.
Which is a thing that universities will sometimes.
No, you don't have to explain that, Aaron. Okay. We all know exactly what that is.
Jamie was looking at me like,
"No, everybody's in the know." Listen,
if you say one woman show and three people show up, I know what you're doing. I hear it. You know?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it was like three people. Like, there were more people there.
Double digits.
At your college?
Uh huh. Yeah, at my college. And
more than the theater department came.
Yeah,
two things people come out for: social worker retreats at Chaco Springs, number one. Number two, 10-minute play sessions at a university.
And so people y'all were in the middle of a 10-minute play. At what minute did you catch on fire?
Probably minute two.
Two. So you just went, "I can't break character because this is my chance to win a Tony."
No, yeah. I'm trying to be respectful to my craft. And to
was your character someone who can't catch on fire? And that's why you didn't want to disrespect that character?
No, I didn't want to go full stop, drop, and roll. Sure. I wanted to carefully put it out.
Yeah.
As my character would. Because
sure.
My character would not have stopped, dropped, and rolled.
Yeah. It was like Little Women, and like it was a poignant scene, and you were like, "This is not what Lori would do." Or well, not Lori, the other
first
one.
Of all, I can't play Lori. He's
I know.
A boy.
I was searching hard. Meg, I was like, I can't think of a name. And I said Lori, and I was like, "Dummy, that's a boy."
I do not have the bird bones of Timothy Chalamet.
Listen, if Erin is in Little Women, she is Beth if she is anybody.
How dare you?
100%.
Oh my gosh, you know that is so disrespectful, and there's nothing I can say back that's as hurtful as that.
Okay, can I redeem this? Because I actually have used this in my life. The first time my parents left my sister and I home alone, we had a gas fireplace. And immediately my sister put on my mom's nice robe because she could. And subconsciously there's some projection probably going on there. But she also started putting her hand over the flame in the gas fireplace, and it catches the bathrobe on fire. And a boy immediately at the top of his 8-year-old lungs starts screaming, "Stop, drop, and roll." And she did. And it worked.
And it worked.
Vindicated. Yeah, vindicated.
Wow.
So Kirby Daniel, I think this dies because
I do
S-Dar,
think
it works.
Kirby, you know? Once you catch on fire, I bet the first thing you're going to think of is stop, drop, and roll.
Or I need to respect my character and not and die by Kirby, self-immolation.
Kirby, would your character try to not be on fire, or would it just lean all the way in?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their mani and pedi systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod. Up next, we have Book of Kelster, who said, "We should shift all holidays forward 3 weeks. You want a snowy Victorian Christmas? January, when you're a month into winter. You want to sit outside for your Valentine's Day? March, baby. Want reliably crisp weather for Halloween? November."
See, first of all, great joke. Great joke on November. Yeah. I didn't get it the first time, but when you read it, I really got it.
My character worked.
Yeah, it did. That's your stagecraft.
Thank you.
I know just automatically I'm going to love this. I love this vibe, and I know you're going to hate this.
Because listen, y'all have, both of you, you and Kelster, have not thought this all the way through. Lincoln's birthday is now in March. How can we ski in March? We
can't. Oh no, Abraham Lincoln's birthday's in March. Like, what are we going
to
do?
Exactly. We're not going to go to 26 de Mayo. We can't do that. We can't wait till the end of the month. Plus, you have not thought through Juneteenth, because now it's in July. You want a holiday called Jew 10th? No, you don't. No.
Well, you know what?
You
for me,
don't.
I celebrate the freedom of all peoples all year round. I'm not fixated on like a certain date, Jamie.
No,
like,
but they deserve a holiday at the very least because we made them wait hundreds of years. They deserve, and it shouldn't be called June 10th.
I know. That I celebrate it all year round, and that's just how we're different, I guess. I think what I would want to say is I want to go a step further. I want chaos every year. Like, I think we should be polyamorous with our national holidays. Every year should be like a key party. And like, you know, at the end of a calendar year, you bring up like the Super Bowl MVP or like the kid who's like the coolest kid in the world for that year or whatever.
Yeah.
And they just randomly draw out like the holiday and the date.
Oh.
And it's like you look up and it's 4th of July in December. And
shooting fireworks in the snow. We should bring out the Superior Twins, the ultimate twins.
Perfect.
Of that year.
Perfect. Yeah. That's a great utility of that. You know, this is the greatest twin on earth. We have decided that.
Yeah.
And now they will decide when we are celebrating Valentine's Day.
Then we look and we go, Mary Kate, spin the wheel.
That's right.
And Mary Kate tells us that, which one killed Heath Ledger?
Oh.
No, it is Mary Kate. So Ashley is the superior twin.
Jason, if there's allegedly noise or like maybe a gavel to let people know we know that that's wildly irresponsible, I think that would be good here.
Okay, up next we have Daisha on the Daily, who said, greeting cards, a ruse. There's no need for them ever. Giving me a present, just write who it's from on a Sharpie, with a Sharpie on the wrapping paper or bag somewhere. Sending me money for my birthday, Venmo me, and let's move on with our lives. Do y'all know that some cards cost like $8? Why are we agreeing to go along with this nonsense?
I love this, Daisha. I feel like, you know how they say that a religion is just a cult with staying power? I feel like greeting cards are just a scam that have staying power. We just convince ourselves that we need them.
I know, but what about the 5,000 stationery shops on Etsy? Those small businesses. You don't want small businesses to thrive, you and Daisha?
I love small businesses. I would just prefer that maybe they can start asking me to tip them too after I buy a greeting card, like the car wash or the local coffee house. And man, it is such a pickle that I find myself in because they stare at you and they're like, would you like to tip me even though I'm not providing any extra service to you? And I feel like I have to, but maybe that's a way forward for them.
You know what that is? That's business owners. I don't blame the employees for that. I blame business owners that won't pay their staff a livable wage. And so they're like, no, we'll work those guilty tips into your pay. That's fine. Those are business owners.
That's the restaurant industry. But it's like, if I go to Books a Million and you ask me for 15 different, like, do I want to sign up for the credit card or whatever? And then you ask me to tip you. I found the book. I didn't ask you. You know, if I needed your help, I would think about it. But I went to the section all by myself and brought it up like a big boy. You don't deserve a tip for that. And that's not the restaurant or that's not the business owner's fault.
What about the psychological impact of greeting cards? You know, there's a lot of studies out there that have found that like when people get one, it's a greater like Tinder response than getting like a text. You know, when you open the mail and it's not just like a weirdlamps.com and then, hey, this is an important message from your bank. And it's not an important message from my bank.
You're getting messages from lamps.com. That's what I'm in your
mailbox.
You know
why? Because I bought one lamp one time and now Chris Loves Julia has a whole lamp line and I'm supposed to figure out which one I want.
I did just get a catalog or we got a catalog of Chris Loves Julia. And I was like, this is like a cruise?
Listen,
or is this a furniture? What is this?
Sidebar, Chris Loves Julia, they're a cute couple, but they've had some drama in their like home decorating lives. But listen, you know how much they spent on their backyard and their front yard at this new house?
Just like sod, like grass?
$600,000.
I don't know anything about them. Why is the business named Chris Loves Julia?
Because Chris, the husband, loves his wife, Julia. And because of his love for her, they paint a lot of things with lacquer green paint.
They have decor because of that love? I don't know.
Well,
I have some issues.
When you have $600,000 to spend on a backyard, let me tell you, the love is intense.
I don't think I could spend that much money. I don't think if I was given a sweepstakes.
You just said you could ride private jets.
Well, yeah, but not in my backyard. It's not that big of a backyard, you know?
That's true. But I guess fancy pools.
Look, it's just, I feel like greeting cards, wrapping paper, cast contestant tell-all episodes, funeral caskets, dessert at restaurants. These are all things we don't need. They are superfluous to our existence.
Caskets?
Yeah, we don't just, you know.
Where are you where are you buried?
Ashes. You do the ashes, okay? I don't want to be like underground. Like, and the math of it all, eventually we're going to run out of space.
So what about when your ashes, what happens when Jesus comes back? Your ashes just make a person?
I love the idea of believing in a person who's like, oh no, you burned yourself? What are we going to do? How are we going to fix this, Holy Spirit? Let's work together.
I will say I only buy 4 greeting cards a year, and it's because Chuck and Jan freaking love a greeting card, and so I have to buy them for Mother's Day, Father's Day, and their birthdays. Like,
it doesn't even make sense. Greeting card, if there's a card to say, hello, it's me, Knox, and I'm here on your birthday, that doesn't make sense. I think you just have to declare, I would like words for my birthday, or I would like present for my birthday.
You don't get both. A card and a present.
You can have both. You can have one. Okay. You can have my heartfelt words and I will pour over them and give you a great essay of affection, or I can just give you a gift. I'm not going to do both.
I will say, if I ever give when I give my parents a greeting card, I always take $5 off the gift card I'm giving them to Home Depot or Hobby Lobby.
Well, you're still losing because a greeting card is like $8 now. You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, I go in that special section where it's only 7 cards and they're only $2.99.
Yeah. Have you ever bought one that plays music when it opens up? Because those are like $24.
No, that's why. I can't do that. You don't even get a gift card if I have to do that.
I don't even understand the royalties of it. You know, copyright corner.
Up next, we have Silver Renee Owens, who says, I like a good MLM lady in my inbox now and then. I'm popular. I'm in demand. I'm being called girly, and I'm being asked how I'm doing. I don't care if you actually just want to sell me something. I'm just glad you thought of me.
So this is kind of like the corporate sexual harasser, you know? It's like that and Jason's positive gaslighting. I think there's something to this, really? And I kind of would like ChatGPT to invent like an MLM hype bot that just slides into people's DMs, gasses them up, and there's nothing after that. It's just like, yeah, I'm in demand. Like, people want me.
But that's the point. You're making a great point, because there's always going to be something after it. Look, you can never reply to the MLM person, because if you even react with a single heart, you don't even put a word, you just put a heart reaction, then you are going to wake up one day with $700 worth of frankincense oil or beauty counter serums. Yes, beauty counter is an MLM. Or Monat shampoo. Monat, why would you have a shampoo that has the worst, most annoying mosquito in the name? Monat? No, less Nat. I hate it. I hate it.
I don't like it. I typed into ChatGPT. Do you want to listen to what he came up with?
Got
this
it.
Is,
Let's go.
This is his hype bot.
This is ChatGPT hyping me up. Go, Chad.
That's right. Just imagine this is in your DMs, okay?
Okay, got it.
All right.
Hey, you boss babe. I know we haven't talked since middle school, and specifically that science class where I threw up on you while we were dissecting frogs, but I just couldn't help but notice what a total diva you are these days. And while I know that you're probably so busy with other awesome opportunities, I just wanted to say that I think you'd be such an amazeballs fit with my new MLM, which is bringing skincare to gerbils and certain breeds of hamster. It's called Rodent and Fields. Let's set up a time to chat more, girly.
Okay, first of all, love a rodent in fields. Love it, love it, love it. Couple things. One, that MLM energy is too strong. Did he say amazeballs?
Yeah, he didn't really pronounce the balls well, but I'll go back. I'll give him notes. Chad.
Because I did like being called a diva. That was kind of fun.
Total
like
diva.
Mariah Carey. Yeah, I like that.
Who doesn't want that? This lives for me.
This lives, but you cannot engage. So I will allow it to live. Okay, up next we have Threshkey1, who said, you should be able to filter style influencers on social media to just people your size. The size 0 lady looks great in these shorts, but I will look like a crescent roll in denim.
This is, I really agree with this. And I've seen this in some places already. They're like, this model is 34. He hasn't eaten a carb in 6 years and he's a medium. And I'm like, man. I love that for him, but like, I need Josh Gad here. I need like Chris Pratt, season 1 of Parks and Rec to like understand what I'm getting.
You need
here.
Ray Donovan. You're looking.
I do. I do. Right. Not, just like a, like he let himself go a little bit, but it is Ray Donovan.
Stop it. Listen, I like this a lot because I think you should be able to, I really think there are 3 categories. So like you're talking about when you're shopping, the retailer will let you pick a model. So I love that. That already exists. But like influencers on Instagram, I want to be able to filter by the following 3. 1, dress size. 2, height. Height impacts so much, you guys. And then 3, current dollar amount in that person's checking account. Because here's the thing. If that person has loose cash of $30,000 in their basic checking account, I can't trust them to buy clothes. Because first of all, they're not even a good manager of their money. You shouldn't keep that much in your checking account. But also, like, they have more money to blow on clothes than I have money to blow on clothes.
You know, I think I'd also, since we're here, I'd also like to go return rate. Like I would want to understand their, I ordered two, I ordered this size and a different one, and I'm just going to send back the other one. What's the actual rate of them returning that? Because I think most people say they're like 75% probably. Like both of you would probably say I'm like 75%, maybe even 90. But I think actually most people are like 20%.
Listen, return. I just donated, I bought my parents' shoes and they didn't fit. And so I needed to return them and I donated them to Goodwill because that's how hard it is for me to return.
I just
things.
Like one of the labors of Hercules should have been sending stuff back. Because just getting stuff out the door to the post office is one of the most difficult
things. Where's the DoorDash for returns?
Oh, TM that. That's the business. That's it right there. MLM hype bots and DoorDash, take my stuff back and get rid of it. Yeah, I love it.
Maybe that's what the twins on Twin Island can have as their day job.
That's the lesser twins. And then we send them cast off.
Right, yeah. That's exactly right. Okay. Yes, this can live. This is a great opinion.
100%.
Next is Spacier Casier, who said, I don't think we need space travel. We spend so much money on it, and I really don't care what's going on out there. Plus, when NASA sent that one female to space with 100 tampons for a week, I don't think they need to be running the ship.
I do feel like we need to comment upon Spacier Casier having a comment about space travel. It
well,
makes me
you
wonder,
what,
does she
you,
go around the internet just commenting
no,
on space?
No, what she's doing is she's throwing a gauntlet down to Casey Musgraves, whose username is Spacey Casey.
Oh, okay.
So she's a spacier, casier than Spacey Casey.
My note would be you are evoking Kevin Spacey, and if you wouldn't like Kevin Spacey to enter the chat, maybe just like not be here in this space. You know,
Kevin.
What I mean?
Well, I will say Kevin Spacey would also send a female astronaut to space with 100 tampons because he doesn't know better.
Now, I don't want to do the well actually and be annoying, but they didn't send 100 tampons to space actually.
Yeah.
But they did ask. They were, I think this was Sally Ride. They were like, do you think 100 tampons would work? Is that enough? Is an appropriate amount of tampons for space?
But the fact that they asked,
it's just as bad.
It's just as bad as actually packing the little toiletry bag with 100 tampons.
100%.
Now, listen, on TikTok, I learned from a space wizard, which I don't think that's our technical title, but no matter.
I completely believe everything you're about to tell me because all of that checks out.
But listen, I think you will agree with this, that if you compared outer space to all the oceans on planet Earth, that we've explored in space the equivalent of 1 12-ounce cup of water.
I don't think there's any way that's true.
That's not even a whole solo cup. You don't think that's true?
Well, hold on. She's messing with the scale of, wait, did you say wizard or witch?
Wizard. Why? Okay. What's the difference?
I just want to get my parlance correct, and I want to respect this TikTok space person.
She's a space wizard, but like, was Hermione a wizard or a witch?
I mean, witch, but I don't understand the gendering of magical
I don't understand
positions.
Why do we gender fictional things?
I don't know.
I mean, witches are real. Please don't come at me, agnostic witches. Please don't come at me. Like, witches are real.
It kind of feels like, just like, no, for the audio, look on your face kind of says, please come after me, agnostic witches. So just like read between the lines on that, y'all.
No matter. I'm just saying, like, for me, I want to know what's out there.
I just want to know, what are you accomplishing when you say something like that? Like, we've only explored a cup of water. Like, what's that even mean? That's
it just
like,
means so little. It's like 12 ounces. There are 350 quintillion gallons of water on the Earth.
Yeah, but like you can't verify that. And that just sounds like a provocatively stupid thing to say, you know?
Like, I say provocatively stupid things all the time.
Yeah, but you brought this to me. And you brought you brought yourself and this TikTok wizard witch person. so I'm not in on that.
Listen,
I do think though, I don't know that we need like James Webb telescope. Yeah, we need that. And I want that.
Right.
Jeff Bezos and his girlfriend on the Dong rocket. I don't think we need that. So I do feel like there's some room.
Not his girlfriend. They're engaged.
I'm sorry. Jeff Bezos and his engaged, betrothed girlfriend person.
That's right.
Yes.
Listen, you know, this week on the Bible Binge, our other podcast about faith type things, we have a sacred cinema. And Aaron and Knox and I, Aaron watched a movie called Contact.
I did.
Did you like it, Erin?
I loved it.
So we talked about that. That's out Thursday, June 8th. But I think we all fall into the arms of Jodie Foster in this respect. I do not want this opinion to live. It must die.
Do you know we almost blew up the moon during the Cold War? Like in 1959?
Call it Neil, please. Like we're supposed to.
Yeah, it's Neil. The Sun and the Neil.
We never agreed on Neil. Someone said it could be Neil, and I think that's a dumb name.
We think Neil. It's named after Neil Patrick Harris.
Okay, so you guys just think the first person who like sets foot on somewhere should be called that? Like that's the name of a place? Because like it's real problematic if we apply that to the United States. You know what I mean?
Amerigo Vespucci.
Yeah, that's the guy who made the map. I don't think that's the guy who set foot like on the place.
No, I don't think. But with the moon, we knew the deal. Do you know what I mean? So that's not like, oh, what's nobody was on the moon. Well,
you don't know that. You don't.
Nobody was on the moon. Nobody lived on the moon. It wasn't like we got there and there was like, it was twin moon and there are all these twins there. And they were like, no, you don't count. I'm calling it Neil. Like, no, it was just Neil and Buzz. And was there a third one?
Who do you think? Buzz and Woody. Neil and Buzz and Woody.
Neil, Buzz, and the guy that doesn't get as much credit. His name's not Woody.
No, it's the Toy Story. That was a joke about Toy Story. No.
I thought that's how they named the Toy Story character.
No, it was. I'm not calling. Guys?
It's a guy named Charles Conrad, but his nickname is Pete.
How has Pete come from Charles or Conrad?
I just don't like that we can just be like, my name's Charles, but you call me Pete. I think that's so disrespectful.
Guys, on the Instagram post of this episode that comes out on Wednesday, if you have a nickname that is nonsensical relative to your regular name, please let us know. I want a full list of all the people who are like, my name is Terabithia and I go by Sally.
Now, if that's your middle name, that's fine, because that's what I do. I go by
my
middle name.
No, that's different. I'm talking about, like, if you were, like, you're Randall Knox McCoy, and then you went by
You would give my social security number, too, Jamie? Oh, my gosh. Like, why are you doxing me right now? Ridiculous.
I do know your social security number. It's in my phone.
Yeah, well, mutually assured destruction.
I don't know why I have your social security number, though.
I don't know why. Why do you have my social security number?
I don't know. Maybe banking, or maybe like, I don't know.
Do you guys feel like sometimes people ask for a social security number and you're like, do you really need this? But do I want to kick up enough of a fuss to like push back on why you need this? And I don't. And
I'm not allowed to say it, but there's a weird combo of numbers in my social security number. Mm-hmm. It's always problematic. So it's always
666. Is that what it is?
Don't give it away.
Uh-oh. Watch out, LifeLock.
I do have LifeLock for that very reason, because I talk about it so much publicly. Okay. Up next, we have M. Gamble, who said, I know the planet is burning around us, but all toilet plungers need to be single use and disposable.
Yeah, this is a really good point.
This is brilliant. This is brilliant. Listen, the more I thought about this, the more I thought about like what causes a clogged toilet and then what that plunger has to do, I was like, toss it immediately. Immediately.
I think I would give up like drink stirrers, balloons, plastic knives, and styrofoam to go. Let's get rid of all those so I can have disposable toilet plungers.
But again, do not come at us about the one time we've ever forgotten to recycle something unless you have sent strongly worded letters to every fossil fuel company and every rich person, including the three guys on Smart List who fly private jets. Okay.
I just don't know. Like, when are we going to figure out nanobots? You know, like you get like single use nanobots and you can just. They jump in the toilet and break up the dookie or whatever. And like, that's, I mean, it's probably, they're probably more expensive, but like economical nanobots.
Like a Tamagotchi?
No. When you were trying to think of like the scale of the smallest thing to break up dookie in a toilet was Tamagotchi.
I don't know what a nanobot is. So I was like, is that like a,
what's your theory? If you had to context clue it together, what do you think a nanobot is?
Nano means one. No? Does it? I don't know what nano means.
I just have a lot of questions about why you pronounced it. Tamagotchi.
I don't know why I called it that. I knew it when I said it. Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi.
There's a lot of vowels and consonants. It goes how it goes.
Nano means one, and bot means robot. And so one robot that you toss robot, in your toilet.
One giant Megan to dive into your toilet and break up the dookie. That is what we are bringing to you, sharks.
Okay.
Does nano really mean one? No, nano means very small or minute.
Oh,
yeah.
Tiny. Oh, well, tiny. One is the tiniest number.
I think one means one. So if it was one bot, that would be one robot to break up the dookie.
Okay,
either way,
fine.
I feel like we have arrived at a really good idea.
Don't act like you know things now.
I do. Again, I
know just a few things.
Okay, Tom Madden,
Monobot.
You can go now.
Monobot, although I really think you need duobots because tubebots could break up the poo-poo quicker.
Is this like how many nanobots does it take to break up the dookie in the toilet? You know,
depends on what you had for dinner.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for? And what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, up next we have Tata Fornay. I don't think that's how. No, Tata Fornay. Does that mean no tatas for anybody?
Oh, I don't know. I think I would like to get the genesis of what this name means.
Okay, I would like more information. Okay, so Tata Fornay says people over 65 should be reassessed every 2 years to keep their driver's license. Yes. And every year over 75, they are hazards. And let's open a separate DMV for them too.
Love it.
Since they plug up the line from not understanding how the world works anymore. So Tata Fornay would like to treat the elderly as if we're living in the 60s and they're black. Is that what she's telling us?
This is a hot...
Separate but equal? Is that what she's saying?
Jamie, like an episode ago, you wanted to put kids like in a different restaurant because
That's
you didn't
different.
Think you should
have... They're useless. It's... God! That's different.
It's like... I think as a dyed in the wood... dyed in the wool ageist. I'm on board for this.
No, you're not.
I am. Let's look. We have to assess old people and understand like how they're driving. I think that's very important.
Well, to be fair, I do agree that you need to be able to see well and have good reaction time. Like I would like more of an active test at a certain point. But to be because really, if you think about it, you never have to take the driver's test again. And maybe like stuff happens.
So you're
in
good
your life.
For all times.
You can't be good,
you're good
for
eternity. Now.
No, that's
if we ever
crazy.
Discover like immortality, you just take the driving test one time and like you're supposed to remember how to drive forever. I don't think
listen,
that's good.
To be fair, I do every time I go to my Chuck and Jan's house. I have to fix their printer every time. I don't know what they're doing. I don't. First of all, I don't know what they're printing.
Yeah.
And then I have to fix her printer. They call every streaming platform Roku. They're like, it's on Roku. And I go, yeah. But no, it's on HBO. And they're like, that's on the Roku.
They're technically correct, Jamie. Right. You're the wrong one.
And listen, but Chuck and Jan, look, they knew things that were good that we never knew, right? They knew that paper menus are better than QR codes. They knew from the beginning that social media was not good for kids. And they know the value of not being available 24/7. Plus, when a boomer yells, get off my lawn, it's because they know how much landscaping costs. Ask Chris Loves Julia. It's $600,000.
So because they have hot takes about paper menus, they should never be reevaluated for their driver's license
No,
again?
Not at 65. I don't think 65 is too young. I do think
65 is a little different for everybody. There's some old 65s and there's some young 65s, you know?
Oh, yeah. I have a friend now that's 34 and he could easily be 90. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
I think it should be over 75. Look, I'm hit. And speaking of that old friend, his grandmother was legally blind by the state of Alabama and had an active pistol license and an active driver's license.
Why is no one
checking in on the blinds? You can't drive the car.
I feel like they sort themselves out, you know? They're like, I'm blind, ergo I shouldn't drive, probably.
I know. Why do you have an active driver's license? That feels like you could if you wanted to.
Are you saying, in the same comment where you're like, someone is trying to segregate people, you want police to stop and frisk for blindness? You want people to be like, hey,
it's an easy road test. It's like DUI.
Sure. I mean, I guess it is. I would love to see the percentages of gotcha, you're blind, and you're driving. Let me say something crazy here. I say, let's do some bumper sticker identifiers, you know?
Okay.
Because I started to see some of these kids, like, new driver, please be patient. And I love that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get out of their way, give them a lot of grace. If there's a bumper sticker that said old person, I'd be like, okay, can't, you know, they're unpredictable. They're probably going to be confused by the yellow turn signal. Like, what's that mean? Who gets to go there? Or like new mother with colicky baby. I'd be like, I'm just going to get like right around them and like not get into their line of rage.
Right.
And I think we already have some casual ways that we're doing this, like cross-fitting bumper stickers. They've got a lot of aggression. Don't go near them. If I ever see a Vietnam veteran sticker, wide berth. They dealt with a lot of stuff. I'm not going to hassle them. You know, like a resident of Florida bumper sticker. I know, like they're insane. Like you got to watch out for them.
Why do we get so mad when we're in one state and another state's tag is driving? I get so mad at Tennessee. I'm like, go home. Don't be here.
Yeah.
And they're just driving through. I get so angry at them.
I know. When I see Alabama license plates now, I'm like, take your ugly license plates. And they are ugly. They're disgusting.
Oh, you mean your solid background blue that doesn't match any car that anybody has in your state? Gross.
Did you say classy? You cut out there for a second. They're very classy. They're very patriotic and classy. Or the license plate. Per capita, I saw more in Alabama of the don't tread on my widow pee-pee license plates, you know, than I do in Tennessee. I promise you that right now. I just think we should invent like an Enneagram for driving and just force people to put it on their car so we can understand. Like,
I think we have an Enneagram for driving. It's the Enneagram. Mm. Listen, you know who's the maddest in their cars? 9. Because it's the only way that their anger can be allowed. No, 8s are angry out loud. 9s are seething with anger. And so they're screaming at their GPS and being like, what the F is this? I don't want to turn there. And then they're just mad. They're just always mad. 9s
okay.
and 1s.
I like that. Yeah.
Okay, up next, we have Miss Ashley Hill, who said, anyone who successfully breaks out of jail or prison should get to remain free. The justice system should just shrug and be like, well, Carl, you bested us. That's our bad. Enjoy your life, buddy. You earned it. Be good.
I love this comment. You told me you didn't like this, but I see no flaw in this.
What if Carl is a child molester, but he manages to get out.
Okay, Hitler baby. Everything's like, what if the Nazi is in power? You know, maybe some room for nuance.
I just think there needs nuance of like, what kind of crime? If you're here for the big, how many big ones are there? Murder.
Okay, let's count them out. What do you think?
Murder, rape. That's it.
Those are the only two big crimes?
No, but like, shoot, our horse.
What about the pedophiles you just mentioned? That feels like a big one.
Well, rape, I think, isn't all child molestation rape?
I'm sorry, did you just corner yourself with your own line
no,
of questioning?
I'm just saying, is it all, no, there's no child that's like, well, it was fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
I don't,
rape.
Jamie, as much as I would like to know, I do not. Aaron, do you know what she means?
I'm feeling good about this conversation being blasted on the internet.
Is this good for the last like one? I was a social
Aaron,
worker
Aaron, if you'll let us finish, we'll find it.
We're curious. I'm just curious.
Okay, so murder, all sexual assaults of any kind.
Okay.
And then...
Jamie, you realize you don't have to do this. Like, you don't have to...
I just don't know that there's another crime that needs... You got to stay in there forever.
Okay. Okay. No, I mean, look, all I'm saying is, I think I like what you're saying. There's a classification of, like, you know, these are the chill crimes, you know? And yeah. If you escape... And you're in there for a chill crime, it's cool. But if you did murder someone, because our justice
system is problematic in so many ways. I've watched all the documentaries.
It
and
is.
I just like listen to people when they get. I mean, it's so problematic.
It is, but just like fundamentally taking out some, like just like the just looking at this, the prison has all the advantage. And to me, if someone can figure out how to escape, like Shawshank style, yeah. I just feel like I'm impressed. If it is a chill crime, I'm impressed.
How about murder, sexual assault, and if you send one of those texts that. Make you think that Amazon is something's wrong and you have to click on it. I don't
or
like those texts.
Bam if you text. Fall for one of those texts, you should also go to prison. It's
exactly.
Like, sorry,
well,
you're
and
an
who
idiot.
In the three who of the three of us have ever felt fallen for a scam like that? Aaron.
I don't know what you're talking about. Do you know how many prison escapees occurred in 2018?
2018. I would say 100.
100 total. Aaron, would you like a guess?
I think like I'm going to go 51.
51. Okay. 2,353. Oh, okay.
We're very trusting of it. That's a lot of people who have
That's
escaped.
That's a lot of people in the year
good
2000.
Them.
That's good.
Good for them. Yeah. So when I go and find out who those 2,000 people are and they're mostly child molesters, you're going to be good for them?
No, I just think you have a certain set of skills that is... I hope we catch them again.
You can break into things like children's bodies.
I hope we catch them again. But I'm glad that they have a minute.
They have a minute?
I think what Aaron is trying to say, if you would let her finish, is good job to the chill crimes ones. The bad crimes ones, not good job.
Yes, exactly.
Mad about
this.
Yeah,
like the pot, like marijuana. Like if they can get out, good for them. Let them have a joint.
If you did some tax fraud, I'm okay with that.
I mean, yeah, I think I am too. I think I am too.
White collar, minor drug, or like you stole something, but it was like, did you need that weed eater anyway? No.
Did you? So you stole a weed eater and you're doing 5 to 10 in San Quentin.
People go to jail for that. You can't steal a weed eater because they're trying to sell it, to pawn it for drugs.
Wow, I feel like there are better ways to get money than stealing weed eaters from Home Depot.
When you're an addict, you're just like, whatever I can find, what's out here? Riding a lot more, I'm gonna ride it off.
But I feel like to pawn a weed eater, you have to also get like the oil to like, because you gotta like demonstrate it still works. This is a working weed eater.
You think that's what the pawn industry is requiring of people when you bring in a product?
Fire it up.
Can you
Let's see that
more?
That thing works.
Show us how this diamond ring shimmers.
Listen, ma'am, you brought the weed eater into this equation. Don't be mad at me now for trying to understand the nuance of the weed eater.
No, and listen, to be fair, weed eaters never work. So, yes, you should be able to demonstrate it works because they never work. They're always missing that little whippy whip.
They are. It gets knocked off. What do you think a weed eater goes for these days, like at a Home Depot?
$200.
$200 weed eater? You probably could find a $200 weed eater.
It's a banana, Michael.
I don't go into...
How much could it be?
$10?
I don't go into Home Depot. I like that you think I know what things are in Home Depot.
I'm going to look up Home Depot weed eaters, and I want to see. I'm sure you can find a $200 weed eater. I think.
Are they more than that?
There's a 220. No, there's a combo. Sorry, there's a 169. There's a 99.
Combo with what? What does
there's
the combo do?
There's a 359 two-stroke X series Tyler sex tape. Am I right? Okay. Well, that's our conversation on death paneling. Some really good listener.
Congratulations
opinions.
To all who got to live. The rest of your opinions must go to Twin Island.
I'm really interested in how Jason edits the which crimes are bad and which crimes are chill. I don't know what you're going to do, bud. So good luck to you on this one. But if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. Noxjamie.com/508. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights? Got a nanobot caught in there, didn't you?
My bad. I'm okay. Let's do some lights.
All right. What is your red light this week?
Okay. My red light this week. Listen, my red light this week is Benjamin Millipede. Do you know who Benjamin Millipede is, Knox?
Sounds like a kid's storybook character.
Oh, well, it's kind of that. So he is a French dancer and choreographer. And we're going to go back to the theme year of this episode, 2009. Benjamin, he is in a long-term relationship with Isabella Boylston. She's a principal dancer with the American Ballet Theater in New York. After years together of sharing an apartment and traveling the world, they take one last trip to the Caribbean before Benjamin starts a new job working on a movie as a choreographer. That movie is called Black Swan. And by the time that movie premieres, the star of that movie, Natalie Portman, is pregnant with Benjamin's baby. Okay, now that infidelity leads to a marriage and another kid, but they seem really happy together. She buys a soccer team and gets nominated for her third Oscar. But what do we know, Knox, about relationships that find their roots in cheating?
If they'll do it with you, they'll do it to you. Got it.
Okay, good. So Benji has been having an affair with a woman 20 years younger than him named Camille, age 25. She is closer in age to Benji's son that he had with Natalie when they cheated on his girlfriend than he is to Camille. If you are 45, listen to me right now. If you're listening and you are 45, you should not be married and courting a girl who shares a BFF necklace with Greta Thunberg. That is a true story. That is disgusting. That is gross. And listen, they're trying to work it out. Like Natalie Portman, they put out a press release that they're trying to keep their marriage together. I just don't think you should keep it together.
So are you saying Greta is disgusting or BFF necklace or bracelets are disgusting?
No, I'm saying Benjamin having an affair with a woman who is BFFs with Greta Thunberg, therefore they share a BFF necklace.
Okay.
That is gross.
I just, in defense of him, he looks like a French cheater. He just looks
exactly.
Like
I don't understand why Natalie looked at him and went, God, he's cheating on his long-term girlfriend with me.
He's definitely reliable.
Think we should be married forever. That is the celebrity comeuppance of like, no, it'll be different this time because he was always supposed to be with me. Well, no, apparently he also was going to be with Camille, and this is not the first time he's cheated. So, allegedly.
Do you think Leo DiCaprio just looks at this and he's like, this is why I've outfoxed him? Because yeah. I date girls who literally look like they are underage at this point, but it's fine and it's legal and it's okay, and no one ever gets mad at me because it's not marriage.
I think that's it. I think that all of these women go, I think even Gisele Bündchen's like, Leo was great. We had
a
great time.
Dating girls who look like American Girl dolls now. And it's aesthetically not pleasing. It is very disturbing.
No, it's very disturbing, but they are all, he like is like in the country of their origin.
Yeah.
They are old enough to drink.
It's like the bench warmer scene when the umpire's like, she's got documentation. And he's like, we are good to go here because I've seen the paperwork. It's rough. Yikes. It's just rough.
I don't like it. Okay. What's your red light?
You know, my red light is obviously the Sunday Succession finale aired. I was out of town. I watched it, you know, at the beach. It was great. We talk about it in The More You Know. But I wanted to red light. And I know, I guess I know why they did it. But Barry and Succession ending on the same night was such a rare event. And it felt like Barry didn't quite get its flowers like it should
have. Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
I feel like it was due its own like set piece consideration, critical analysis, monocultural examination. And it just came and went. And I thought in a lot of ways, Barry was, kind of the Moneyball version of Succession, I guess, in a lot of ways, of just doing just as much with very little in terms of budget like Succession had. And that's not to disparage Succession. It was a wonderful show. But Barry was just such a revelation, even to the end of what the show was about and how it twisted and turned and evolved. And it just kind of bothered me a little bit. You know, I just wish more people, I just want to encourage people, if you haven't watched it, you need to check it out because it's so incredible and revelatory, but I just wanted to get its credit, you know?
No, I agree because it's weird. I get that, like, you know, because other people say, well, Mrs. Maisel ended and Ted Lasso ended the same, they all ended the same week.
Yeah.
Those are different networks, but like HBO not even giving like an opportunity for Barry to have its own week. I mean, you could really have delayed it 1 week. That's all we would have.
And I don't know if it was an Emmy thing, so I'm sure there's a reason why. And to HBO's credit, like, they really owned Sunday night. Because it was like these two powerhouse shows.
Sure.
But I feel like for two shows to go out at the height of their powers and to just be okay with walking away. It was so impressive. So I just want more people to like Barry. What is your green light this week?
Okay, my green light this week. Speaking of HBO and a show that you might could replace, I would say if you love Ted Lasso and you were like, I would just want something that's just low key and easygoing and makes me feel good. The show that I'm recommending to you is Somebody Somewhere. It is a comedy drama series on HBO. It stars Bridget Everett. It's set in Manhattan, Kansas, and it follows Sam, played by Bridget Everett, as she deals with a midlife crisis after the death of her sister. And I started watching this, and at first I was like, oh, there's just not a lot happening. And then I was like, oh, I kind of love it. I love that there's not a lot happening, but every day things are happening all the time. It almost is like you got out of the, like, you know, the, you got to middle America, literally in Kansas, and you have this show that's meeting interesting characters, very much like the interesting people we know in our own lives. And they're having normal conversations at the hardware store or at the, you know, theater presentation in their little town. And it's really, every character is complex and nuanced and just really fun to watch. And it is funny and tender and ordinary in the very best way. Jen Chaney, who writes for Vulture, this is what she said about Somebody Somewhere. She said, this is the beauty of Somebody Somewhere, a series that unfolds at the pace and temperature of real life. It is not inviting us to laugh at Swedish billionaires who send blood bricks to their employees or pay assassins accidentally blowing off their own fingers with exploding pens. It is inviting us to laugh with Sam and those closest to her the same way we laugh with our actual friends. Guys, it's 2 seasons. It's already been renewed for a third. They're 14 half-hour episodes. You will root for everyone in this ensemble. It's fantastic. So
I've got 2 green lights. I'll start with my dad light. It's The Little Mermaid. We talked about it in The More You Know this week. So I won't belabor it here, but we saw it at the beach with my girls and my nieces, and I got 5 out of 5 thumbs up. They particularly love the Lin-Manuel song additions to the canon. You know, I for one love just the new diversity of The Little Mermaid, but some people here obviously don't. So if you want to hear us talk about The Little Mermaid, you can join us at Patreon to hear more about that. But the proper green light this week is the TV show Platonic on Apple TV. This is Nick Stoller, Seth Rogen, and Rose Byrne reuniting for the show that it almost like, it examines what happens when former best friends reconnect as adults and try to overlook like what caused the split in the first place. That's like the overtext of it. But the subtext of it is like how to get old while still trying to feel young and navigating stuff where you do actually feel old, but stuff where you do actually kind of feel young. It's very Apatowian. I found it very sitcom light, almost like a prestige New Girl, I think. Easy laughs. But it does get really real about, you know, life and getting old, but trying to stay young. I just love Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne's chemistry. I really like Nick Stoller as a storyteller and as a director and producer. So I think if you want a light kind of half-hour comedy, you're going to really love Platonic on Apple.
I have to check it out.
Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And for your every time you're doing shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcastfirst. So your purchase is our affiliate link. If your item purchase using that link this week was, this is dry roasted edamame.
Okay, so this has 14,000 global ratings, 4.2 stars. My favorite questions are, in this order, 4th favorite, what's the best way to serve it? Okay, Tina responded, we serve and eat these like peanuts as a snack. Then, how do you heat it up? And then Lindsay said, no, you don't heat them up. Then someone asked, what color is it? And in the picture, you can see it's a light green color. And then, of course, my favorite question in the Q&A on Amazon was, did Eddie Money invent edamame? And the answer was, of course, no. All right, you guys, don't forget, you can see us live in person, in real life, at the Podcast Live this September in both Austin and Atlanta. Just go to knoxandjamie.com/live to learn more. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.